turned me down a little bit. Brother Streeter, a little bit of a ring up here. I think that'll work. I can just talk louder, you know that, right? One time I tried to use the handheld, I inadvertently turned it off. I didn't have one complaint about folks not being able to hear me. It didn't get recorded, but I didn't have any complaints about nobody being able to hear me. Amen. I want to clear up an issue for you as we read these scriptures again today. Psalm chapter 20. Go back there again. I'm stuck. In case you didn't notice, this obscure psalm, I got stuck in it when the Lord was dealing with me about some things in my life and trying to encourage me. And I want to say that He's really done that, and He just keeps on. I'll do my regular devotions, you know, and read my devotions and then read those scriptures. Then almost every day I go back to this place in Scripture and read it again. The Lord is really helping me understand that there are benefits to being one of His anointed. Now, not me above anybody else, but I am one of God's anointed. And so are you if you're a blood-bought, born-again, Spirit-filled Christian. Amen. But here's the one thing I want to clear up as we go to read these scriptures. Thee. When the word thee is said in the King James Bible, you know, you always hear people say, I don't understand all those thees and thous. I'm going to clear this up for you, okay? Thee is you. So as we read this today, there, I just took care of that problem. We all understand that now, that as I read the scripture and it says thee in any place, it just simply means you. That's a real tough one, isn't it? We ought to start our own Bible version to try and eradicate the problem with thee. I just did. When you read it, it's you. Amen. So let's read these scriptures this morning, keeping that in mind as we read these scriptures. Thee simply means you. Amen. Oh, I got to take up the offering first. Brother Ryder, come wait on folks for the offering. And Pastor, would you pray this morning, please? Jesus, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's read this scripture here. We'll read all nine verses, and we'll do a little recap, and then we'll get into this morning's teaching. But really, I want to go short. I've only got three pages, new material, for this morning that I want to spend some time in prayer. I have a burden on my heart for prayer this morning, and hopefully I can get that communicated to you folks and share that burden with you. All right, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen. But we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Remember that when we read those scriptures, thee means you. Now, the part we're going to be talking about in just a minute today is found in the second verse. After three teachings, we finally got into the second verse in this set of scriptures. But it says this in verse 2 of Psalm 20, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Before we go any further then, I want Brother Streeter to play this song for you about there's power in prayer. Amen. Can you say amen with me this morning? There's power in prayer. When we started this lesson on Psalm chapter 20, it starts out in verse 1. It says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble." I went through a whole class just on that one simple phrase, how we are in troubling times, and it, not just personally, the Boyer family, and probably your family as well, but we are as a nation, as a country, as a world, really, we're in trouble. And the promise of God that He will hear us in that day. Amen. We look to Noah and to others that were in trouble in their day, but God heard their cry. He had paid attention to them, and just like in our age, God will pay attention to the real saint of God that calls upon Him. Amen. It's promised in the Word of God. Last week, I went over, or 2 weeks ago, I guess it was now, the name of the God of Jacob. And I told about the teaching that Brother McGeechee did on all the names of God. And I had to hurry there at the end, all the Jehovah names, you know, and all that. And then at the end of that class, that we went into the scripture that God has given one name above all names, even above that name, those names. Those eight Jehovah names. Just one name, then. It's above that, the Bible says. And it's the name of Jesus Christ. If you can't remember, when you're in the midst of your trial, all those Jehovah names, Elion and all that, Adonai, and you can't remember all those names and what they mean, you can sum them all up and above that by just saying one name in your trouble. Jesus. Jesus, help me, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, come and save me. It's high above all names. Almost sounds like a oneness, doesn't it, Pastor? But it's the truth. One name above all names. Jesus Christ. Amen. And God has given us His name to defend us, the Bible says. So that when we're in the midst of our trials and troubles, we can use it. How that in vain it is for the child of God, we violate the third commandment, that we take the name of the Lord our God in vain by not using it when we get into trouble and trials. It's not supposed to be like that. He gave it to us to use to defend us. Amen. His name, high above all other names. This morning, though, I want to go to verse 2. Finally, they said. Verse 2. Where it says, "Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." I want to have some lines there on your hands outs, and I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to write it in the first blank. When I say to you sanctuary, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Sanctuary. What is the first thing that comes to your mind? Just write that down there. Sanctuary. The second one's kind of like it, you know. But I want to prep it a little bit by saying the Old Testament. When I say to you the Old Testament sanctuary, what comes to your mind then? And write that down. For me, if you're all done there, for me, when I hear the word sanctuary, and it's unconditioned or not conditioned, my response isn't conditioned by something else, I think of church. The first thing that comes to my mind is church. I think, too, about our Sunday school class. It's in the sanctuary. I mean, right? So I think that's a pretty normal response is when I think about sanctuary. And I think that this verse can be used like that. Send thee help from the sanctuary. I think that's one part of it. We also then have to learn, we have to realize that who was writing and when they were writing, it was David. And in the temple and the tabernacle, there were other things that would be brought to mind when you said to an Old Testament saint, the sanctuary. What were some of your responses? Brother Lance, did you have a thought there about sanctuary, Old Testament sanctuary? Amen. There were several folks that ran into the sanctuary and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. So let me see. That's right. Amen. When I think about the Old Testament sanctuary, if you will, I think of the temple and its arrangements, right, and how it's all arranged. Then I think about the holy and the holy of holies. I think about how there was a veil that separated those two places. And I think about then how Christ, when He came and was crucified on the cross, the Bible says that that veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And it was a show that that way into the Holy of Holies itself, where God dwelt in that place, was wide open to those that would come through Christ. The way to get into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God Almighty, was open to whosoever will. Now listen, that excites me when I think about that. The temple, they say it was the width of a man's hand, thick, curtain, was torn in two from the top, from God's side, to the bottom. I think about that when people say sanctuary and it's conditioned by Old Testament. What do you think about then? Well, I also think about that there is a sanctuary in heaven. Now think about this. There's another sanctuary, not just the sanctuary we think about now in church or that we condition or we think about when we're conditioned to think about it, the Old Testament sanctuary. But there's a sanctuary that is in heaven as well, where all the saints of all eternity worship and praise God nonstop, day and night, that there's a sanctuary there as well. Amen. Now, listen to what Hebrews 8:5 says. It says, who serve unto the example and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. When I think about the Old Testament tabernacle, then I think too that it was a mirror of what is actually in heaven. It was shown to Moses and he was told to build it just like he was shown, just like the pattern that was shown you, build it. Amen. I can't help but think then too that the temple curtain in heaven is rent in twain as well. And through Christ now, I can get into the very presence of God today. Amen. I didn't have to be around then when the temple was erect. It's not erect now. It got torn down. Did you know that? So that imagery of the temple curtain being torn in two between the Holy Holy, that doesn't really mean much to me today. That place isn't on earth anymore. But there's a place in heaven where that has been rent in twain, if you will. And through Christ, I can go right into the presence of God. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. And I hope that you are too. Another thing when I thought about this, that the sanctuary and what we think about it as. And in today's gimme generation, what we think about church is what I get out of it. What I get out of it. You know, some people won't go to a church if they aren't tickled just right every service. It's the truth now. If some people aren't treated just exactly right, they won't go back a second time. This is a sad truth, but it's the truth. But here's a newsflash. Church isn't, sanctuary isn't just all about you. It's about others and about God using you to help somebody in the sanctuary. Amen. Now let that sink in. You're to come to church to be used by Him to give help to others. Amen. Lay down those things that hinder us from being able to be used by Him so that we can pray, that we can encourage one another in the Lord. The church is, the sanctuary is a place where people should be able to find help, and the church is for you and I to be used in to help them. As sad as this might be as an illustration, I could be your help from the sanctuary. You are my help from the sanctuary. God uses you to help me from the sanctuary. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for that. On your handout, too, I wrote down something that Charles Spurgeon wrote, and I want to read it. There are a couple of points that are just so, so strong that I wished I could talk like that on my own and think about things like that on my own, but I'm going to rely on this great man to say it for me. He says, "Send thee help from the sanctuary. Out of heaven's sanctuary came the angel to strengthen our Lord. And from the precious remembrance of God's doing in His sanctuary, our Lord refreshed Himself when on the tree." Now listen to this. Listen to what C.H. Spurgeon says. He says, "There is no help like that which is of God's sending, and no deliverance like that which comes out of His sanctuary." Amen. The sanctuary to us is the person of our blessed Lord, who was typified by the temple and is the true sanctuary which God has pitched and not man. Let us fly to the cross for shelter in all times of need, and help will be sent to us. Men of the world despise sanctuary help, but our hearts have learned to prize it beyond all material aid. They seek help out of the armory or the treasury or the buttery, but we turn to the sanctuary. And the second clause of verse 2 says, "And strengthen thee out of Zion." Out of the assemblies of the pleading saints. Out of the assemblies of the pleading saints. That sounds like modern church to me, doesn't it, you? Who had for ages prayed for their Lord, help might well result to the despised sufferer. For praying breath is never spent in vain. To the Lord's mystical body, the richest good comes in answer to the pleadings of His saints assembled for holy worship as in Zion. Certain advertisers recommend a strengthening plaster, but nothing can give such strength to the loins of a saint as waiting upon God in the assemblies of His people. I'm going to stop reading there, and I got to thinking about that as I read that. Sister Vera Franklin, who was a pastor of a church down in Leadbetter, Kentucky, when we first got saved and first got into holiness and Pentecost, really, we had never been to a Pentecostal church until we went to that Southern Pentecostal church. But Sister Vera Franklin said this once, and I'm just now trying to get a real grip on it. But she says, when you get in the presence of God, make sure you call my name. When you get in the presence of God, make sure you call my name. Why? Why would she say such a thing? Because she understood that her help, if she was going to get any help, was going to come from the saint of God pressing into the Holy of Holies to get help from the sanctuary. Amen. She understood that. And I'm saying, glory. Because listen, folks, when you get in the presence of God, the next time you're in your prayer closet, or maybe even later today, if I hurry up and be quiet, we spend some time around the altars, and you get in the presence of God, call my name. Because if I'm going to get any help, it's going to come from Him and Him alone. Amen. And He'll probably use you to help me. Praise God. Brother Leon Buzzard, another one of the preachers that we met down there, he's long gone, and he was a real Indian, and his real name was Buzzard. His dad's name was Dan Falling Buzzard, and I mean, he had a whole list of names that his people were called. But he shared an experience once when he was in a physical need, and how there seemed to be nobody around that he could really talk to about it. You know, he couldn't get help. He didn't go to the doctor or anything. But he just went into his prayer closet, into his bedroom, and got in the presence of God. And he said, you know, it wasn't but a short time later, and I found out that as I pressed into the presence of God, I could feel Him touch my body. Amen. He said, I never had another need in that area again. And every time I had a need in any way, I went into my sanctuary, into my prayer closet, into the presence of God, and He never failed to meet my need. Amen. I said, oh, may that be my testimony. There's been many times when I've prayed, I couldn't even get, it didn't seem like it got much further than the ceiling. Amen. You have too, haven't you? But when we get into the presence of God, when we get into that Holy of Holies, into that place of the sanctuary of God, we're going to find grace to help in our time of need. Amen. And that's what we need to do more than anything else, is to press in to that sanctuary. Press in prayer until we get into the presence of God. You know, I posted this on Facebook this morning because it just hit me. We are no better than the Muslims if all we do is read that book and try to obey it. We're no better. But that's not all there is to it. We have a personal God that is waiting to hear our cry and to help us from the sanctuary and to strengthen us out of Zion. Amen. It's a whole different ballgame for us. And we should be able to live according to the precepts found in the Word of God. Amen. It shouldn't be such a struggle. We're not like them. Yes, we have a book that we should cherish, that we should read and devour and obey. Yes, we do. But we have the presence of God to help us and to strengthen us from His sanctuary. Amen. I thought about there, and this is not going to be an in-depth story or anything like that, or in-depth accounting, if you will. But I thought about several people from the Word of God that understood what getting in the presence of God was like. You know, the three Hebrew children, they knew what getting in the presence of God was like. When they went into their fiery furnace, what did the King Nebuchadnezzar say? And the form of the fourth man was like as unto the Son of God. They were in the presence of God. Where? In their fiery trial. In their trouble. I got to thinking, well, seeing as how the Bible says that even Elijah was a man of like passion such as we are, we're not all that different, you and I. Could you imagine the prayers you would be praying as you walk toward that fiery furnace? What do you think they did? Just strolled up there? They'd be doing just like you and I. Help me, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I don't know. And well, they didn't say that, but I would be saying, oh, Jesus, help me. Deliver me, Lord. You'd be praying like crazy, too. I bet they did as well, I expect. And then very soon in that trouble, in that trial, they got in the presence of God, and He delivered them from every one of them. What about Daniel? In the song that we played this morning, where it says Daniel prayed for 21 days, but yet then... Now remember, Daniel's prayer life, right? He got into trouble for praying three times a day. No matter what, he already had a prayer life. One time he prayed and he says, I prayed for 21 days. I prayed a long time. And no answer seemed to come. But then there was one day when he finally got the answer. And it says this in Daniel 10:10-12. It says, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Sounds to me like in the day of trouble, he called upon him, the name of his God delivered him, and then God sent help out of the sanctuary. Amen. And I think, as I'm reading this right, that's the way it's supposed to work in our lives as well. What about Jesus? Turn in Luke. In the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 41 and 43, Jesus Christ himself got help from the sanctuary. Luke 22, 41 through 43. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Even Jesus Christ himself, when he was in the form of a man, experienced the strengthening of God from the sanctuary. This was the deepest trial of his human life when he was going to become sin for you and I. And he cried out to God, and God sent an angel to strengthen him. Now, I've been saved almost 30 years, and I am not even on the same road as Christ sometimes. You know, I want to be. I want to be different. I want to be like him. But when we get compared, it ain't even close. But if he needed help from the sanctuary in his trials, how much more you and I? And God promised that he would give it to us. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Do you know that there are people in our church right now that if you and I don't get in the presence of God, they may never get help from the sanctuary? Because, listen, if you, just in case you haven't been there yet, you may get in the trial like I've been in where you couldn't pray for yourself. Oh, you unspiritual. Listen, I've been in it so deep that I couldn't say anything but help. Huh? And I needed a brother or a sister to pray and come up alongside me and help. I needed them to seek God's face for me, so he would send help from the sanctuary. And it's with that thought that I want to take the rest of Sunday school, which is about 20 minutes, and I want us to pray until. I want us to take a little bit of time and pray until we get in the presence of God. Because listen, friend, the help that the person sitting next to you today may need, may not come unless we do get in his presence and send help from the sanctuary. I don't know what they're facing. You may not know what they're facing either. I know I have a daughter up in Goshen Hospital right now that needs God to touch her. I do know that. I know there are others. I know that my wife has just run herself ragged with all the stuff she's been going through. I know Sister Kincaid, she told me she's wore out. Brother Streeter's been facing all kinds of stuff. And you have as well. I'm not demeaning any of your other needs. But the only way that may get met is if you and I press into the presence of God so He sends help from His sanctuary. Amen. He promised to do it. So if we'll press in, we already know His response. Amen. So let's do that this morning. Brother Streeter, play some music. You can build yourself an altar where you're sitting. You can come to the altar up here. Doesn't matter. Press in. If you have something in your mind, something from this week's work, something in your family, anything, lay it down. Lay it aside and get in the presence of God. Amen. Thank you.